Good morning and welcome to a Christmas edition on this Friday of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, a special edition all day long. We're going to have Coach Spurrier's stories told by former players, media folks, all the guests. So sit back and enjoy.
Well, a reminder now, some of these stories may not be accurate, but take them with a grain of salt and realize we got some former players that think they're comedians also. So remember that. But I'm looking forward to hearing what our guys have to say. We had a wonderful group of players all through the 90s there, and the attitude on those teams was outstanding. So I'm looking forward to hear what the guys got to say.
Last thing before we let you go, Bam, everybody always wants to hear these. You got to have a good hit ball coach story for us.
Oh, man. So I guess you gotta give something that's appropriate for the situation. I know, right? Because you know you always have some great moments. But I guess one would be, so not sure what time of year it was, but we're getting ready to head out to practice. So we're in a locker room. Everybody's heading out, and you know the setup of where the locker room is, they're saying, and you don't really have any windows or anything. So as we're starting to head out, there's no really sense of urgency for guys to get out onto the field. And so the word kind of gets around the locker room and in the training room that, hey, practice postponed and delayed and everything. We're like, man, what's going on? It's not storming outside, not when we came in. It's not storming, not raining or anything. That'll be some of the reasons that practice would be, you know, postponed. And so as we kind of just linger around the locker room and things, guys start working outside now. It's kind of got the green light to head outside. And now we're out on the field. And like I say, a sunshine, no issues there. And so as we get out, now Coach Spurrier ends up coming on the field. And all right, guys, let's go. Rock glass, let's go. So we get into actually getting the stretch line. So come to find out, all right, Coach Spurrier was in there watching golf. And I guess he was in the middle of a really good match. And so let's just say practice kind of got canceled a little bit. And as you know, that's a really good head ball coach type call for him, you know, because he's a great golf guy. And, you know, and like you say, you million ways to skin a cat. And as long as you get the work in, hey, why not enjoy life? But great guy, man. Great coach. He's helped me out a lot with just the Gator family itself. But great coach, man.
No doubt. Last thing for you, Coach. Brad sends in a question on the Titan MRI hotline or text line. He wants to know, do you have a good Spurrier story that you could share with us?
Well, the one that's funny, because you asked about going against him every spring. I come in number one defense in the country at Kansas State, and that's why Coach hired me. Then we go out for the first scrimmage after I'd only been there maybe a month, you know, trying to install our defense. And I mean, I go out there, and as you said, you got Jacquez Green in the slot, Riddell Anthony and Ike Hilliard out wide. Fred Taylor's the running back. Heisman Trophy winner Danny Werfel's the quarterback. And I can't remember the tight end who played the NFL. I can't remember who it was or his name. Well, they go up and down the field, I bet four or five plays, touchdown. You know, Coach Spurrier says, Bobby, let's flip it around. We'll go the other way. You know, so we go the other way. Four, five plays, another touchdown. He says, all right, let's put the second group in there. They go down the field, touchdown. All right, first group back up. Danny and those guys go right down the field. I don't know, again, not, you know, hitting those junk corner routes and, you know the schemes. Yeah, you know, running the sprint draw to Fred Taylor. He goes for 20 or, you know, and I'm thinking, geez, oh, man, he's driving. This is killing me. You know, this doesn't happen to RD or what I've been through. And then he yells out at me after about the fourth touchdown. He said, Stoopsie, think we're going to be able to force a punt this year? And then in true form of him, you know, I'm mad and I'm all fired up about it all. And then he coming in after image, he puts his arm around me. He says, hey, Bobby, don't worry about it. He says, look. He goes, you're not going to see anybody else like us. He goes, just keep doing what you're doing. And he was like, the rest of the year, we never saw anybody like us.
That's great. Brady, we got a text real quick, JC, on the Titan MRI text line here for you. George wants to know, can you tell us a funny Spurrier story real quick?
You haven't used them all up?
I'm no,
gonna tell
I,
the
I
Cornell
try
to story. I sure not gonna tell the Cornell story. You guys have used them all up, I'm sure, right, Shane? And I don't know. Yeah. Well, I can't think. You caught me off guard on that one, guy. I gotta think about, you know,
talk about your wheel route.
Well, you know, when we played Akron, the first time I ever went into a game, Spurrier had this long verbiage, which Shane doesn't think it's long, JC, but in this day and age, we'd never use that kind of verbiage, you know? Right. But he gives me the play, right? And he says, he's putting me in. Brian Fox is the quarterback, okay? Shane's already got the visor on or whatever on the sideline, Johnny. And so he goes, okay, right over past 14, Ralph Edwards drag something like this. And he pushes me in the back, and he sends me out there. And as I get there, Fox goes, what's the play? I said, I forgot it. And he looked over. So Fox had to yell at him. He had to signal the play yet. So then he always had this thing like he would push you into the game late in the game, like he put his hand on his back. So then we're playing Kentucky, and my shoe had blown, or Huey Richardson lost a shoe at the beginning of the game. And his shoe looked like a clown's mouth, so his toe was coming out the front of it. So he goes, I need a size 12, so I threw in my shoe. Back then, we didn't have the shoe situation that they have now. Remember, Shane? I think Shane painted those shoes. So I had the shoe on, and we finally blown Kentucky out. We're winning the SEC. Carl Franks looks at Spurs and says, let's put Brady in. Okay, Brady, you ready? And he pushed me on the back. Go on in there. And I tripped. Going out. No. He grabbed my back. He's not ready. And then he put me in the next play, and he gave me 38 cutback handoff, and Kyle Morris was the quarterback. Dan Crouch was the center. I ran out there at 38. You know, the play that Eric Rett used to run, it'd be a sweep to the right, cut back to the left, or whatever it was. Shane knows what it is. I had no idea. I'd never run that on scout team. I didn't know what I was doing. I ran out there. I go, Junior, what do I do? I didn't know what to do. I'd never run it. I just ran lead draw. I was a draw guy.
Yeah,
that's right. And you caught a wheel route against Akron.
Yeah, I kind of got off the wheel route story because it wasn't as fun, except the day after the wheel route, if you could find this in the archives, back when Cornell was like doing the news, he was the news anchor, you know, the legend of John Cornell. Yeah. I caught a wheel route, and I went into the end zone, and I held my hands up, and some girl was cheering, and Coach says to Mick on the little TV show, he goes, maybe that's Brady's girlfriend. I mean, she was like 35 at the time. He was feathered in the middle. I'm thinking, come on, Coach, give me more credit than that. No disrespect to the lady. She was a nice-looking older lady, but I was 21.
Yeah. Final thing for you, Fred. I ask all the people that play for the HBC, they got to have a story, a Spurrier story. One that you can tell on air. You got a funny story to tell our fans?
You know, I got a funny story. But more importantly, I got a story going back to me, that suspension in 96 that pretty much changed my entire life. I was about to get suspended. And Coach Spurrier, he just came to bat for me. He came to bat for me, and he never did that for anyone, for that matter. But he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. He believed in me. So Coach Spurrier ended up, again, just going back to that, when he vouched for me, he knocked it from 4 games to 3 games, and I had a good year and senior after that. But something funny, aside from him being a great coach, he was a compassionate person. But Coach Spurrier, he would tell the guys, hey, like if you made a mistake, hey, it's not your fault, Shane. Come on over here by the old ball coach. No, we recruited you. It's not your fault. That's something that I would never understand. that hurt more than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Just tell me, hey, you messed up. But don't say, hey, it's not your fault. We recruited. It's our fault. It's okay. You know, that hurt more than anything. But there's tons and tons and tons of more stories out there. But that's one that always comes to mind first.
So I like to ask all the guys that played for the head ball coach, I know you got some stories. You got a Coach Spurrier story for us?
A whole lot of them, man. Spurrier, he's probably my favorite coach ever. And he just a straight down to earth guy. I mean, extremely funny. Extremely funny. He kept us laughing. The biggest story would be like Spurs, the one that got me going by Jabbar. Because in high school and growing up, my name Derek. My first name is Derek. And I got to Florida and he started calling me Jabbar. And next thing you know, it's Jabbar Gaffney. And no one, Derek Gaffney. He had his little switched up on it and started calling me Jabber, Jabber and Jab. And those are still some of my nicknames that some of the former players and just people everywhere call me now because everybody been heard it. So I get called Jab all the time, and that also part of the Coach Spurrier, the ball coach.
That's funny. Yeah, that's typical him. There's no question about it.
Travis, I have every guy on this show, and they play for the player, they're required to give a couple of Coach Spurrier stories. You got a good story for us?
Oh, man. I guess there's so many good stories. Some good, some bad. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. Which one do I want to tell that I can probably tell? Oh, man. So we're playing. you know, Coach Spurrier, one of those guys that, you know, he doesn't hold any punches. He's going to tell you like it is. You're going to know how he feels about you as a person, as a football player. But he means well for everybody. So this is one. We played Tennessee. We played the Volunteers. I think we played Tennessee. This is 98. We had like 5 turnovers that game, and losing in, I think, a double overtime off of his field goal. So we so Alex Willis, man, he catches his ball and he catches the ball and ends up fumbling the ball once he catches it. And the Coach Spurrier goes in a rant. He's like, you know what, Alex, you know, it's okay. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I'm the dummy for putting you in the game. Yeah. Man, it was funny, but it's like, wait a minute, did he just say that? Like, what? It caught you off guard, but it was funny, but also like, man, that was kind of harsh. But Alex went on to have a great year that year, and played well. We all played bad that Tennessee game, but that's one thing that stuck in my mind about Coach Spurrier. But you know, there's a lot of great stories about Coach Spurrier, man. One of the most wonderful people I ever met in this football world. Actually, I saw him at the Orange Bowl this past year. I ran into him, just talking to him on the sideline, and man, just to just to get a chance to talk to him again is always a blessing, always a wonderful thing. And so I've always talked to Coach Spurrier throughout my NFL career. But he was at South Carolina. Actually, my first college football game ever going to was at the University of South Carolina, because I reached out to Coach Spurrier, like, yeah, come to the game. And man, it was a wonderful experience. And so, I will always have a special place for him in my heart, Coach Spurrier.
I would like you to tell the story because, you know, I don't think Florida was actually recruiting you. I think there's a story that you were going down with your family somewhere in the state of Florida for a summer vacation or something, and y'all stopped by Gainesville and you dropped off your high school tapes. This was before nowadays you can just on Twitter send high school tapes. Just tell that story real quick.
Well, I kind of, I had a really good junior year and ended up being player of the year in the state of Indiana as a junior, and I kind of wanted to get everything out of the way before my senior year as far as where I was going to go. I didn't want the distraction or any of that, so I was not getting recruited very heavily by Florida State or Miami, really, but I was getting the standard letters. I was getting recruited pretty heavily by Penn State and, you know, Purdue and IU and places like that, but you know, I wanted to play big time college football. So I went down on spring break of my junior year, and they kept telling me, you know, we don't really recruit Indiana, but you can come on down for an unofficial visit if you want. Kind of like, don't waste your time, but I mean, if you're down here, come on in. So basically, that's what we did. And saw us when we came in that morning and just started giving us a tour of the weight room. And this is where the coaches meet. And He's like, you're probably not going to be able to see any coaches today. So I was kind of bummed out. And the hallways in the coaches' offices were, you know, really skinny and kind of turned a little bit. And you could hear Coach Spurrier just kind of, hey, what's going on, everybody? You know, just from down the hall. And she looked at us like, you're going to be able to meet Coach. So he comes walking around the corner and kind of introduces himself and kind of pats us on the back and kind of keeps walking. I said, hey, Coach, can I show you my highlight tape before you leave? Because I had it with me. So he was like, kind of scratched his head like he didn't really want to, but like, all right, yeah, throw it on. Let's go. Come on. Come on, Hatsy, throw his tape on. So puts the tape on and watches it for about 20 minutes. As soon as that was over, he was like, you know what? I'm going to throw my highlight tape on. So he threw his highlight tape on, and then he threw highlights of you and Danny playing and explaining how, you know, how he would get wide receivers open with route combinations and his philosophy of offense. And that turned into a 3-hour lunch, which turned into 2 weeks later, after I get home, a written offer. And I took me about 5 minutes to call and say yes.
I don't know how well you knew the HBC before you got here, but obviously he's roaming the halls up there. There's nobody like that guy. What's it like having Coach Spurrier around?
Oh, it's awesome. And he's actually my neighbor. And
yeah, I knew that too.
I get to see him not only at work, but I get to see him out in the front yard every now and then. He's really, you know, he is such a unique individual. Mm-hmm. And you know, you when you visit with him, you get a sense for the competitiveness, the way the mind works, his recall, and his ability to boil things down to the most simplest. He'll take really complex issues and boil them down to really simple approaches, and you can see the genius in that, especially as a leader, as a coach. So I you know, what a fun thing that is. I kind of pinch myself sometimes because I remember being in the SEC when he was dominating here at Florida, and as you know, he wasn't very well liked outside of the state of Florida, and you see him now, you think, man, how can anybody not like this guy? I get it. You know, I remember the clips. I remember his digs and you know, how he'd go after people. But, you know, what a special guy. And I know, I'll tell you what, Shane, that when he came in and then put you behind center, that was something no one had ever seen before in this league. And you guys totally changed the trajectory of SEC football, not just for a few years, but I think even to this day. I mean, the forward pass was front and center, obviously, going from that point on. And you know, that was it was just kind of like a perfect marriage of the perfect quarterback in the perfect system with the perfect coach at the perfect time. And when you were at a school that played Florida, it wasn't a lot of fun, but it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. Batesy, can you tell the story real quick? It's one of my favorites as well. When Coach and them had, I think it was Devin Bush on his recruiting visit, and they had the jersey hanging in his locker.
Yeah, Daryl Bush. Yeah, yeah. But there was a Devin too, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and so Daryl was, this was probably my redshirt freshman year, and you host somebody on the recruiting trip, and I was hosting Daryl Bush. I hosted Daryl Bush, Peyton Manning, and Ernie Batto. Ooh. I got one out of three at least. So Daryl comes around, and you know, like I said earlier, that I just love the Boz, and so I had to wear 44, and it's almost embarrassing to admit how much it meant to me to wear that 44, because when I would get those media guides when I was being recruited, the first thing I would do is I would always flip. Okay, good. Fee Bartley's a senior. That means I have a chance of getting 44. I'm preaching to the choir. You and your number 9, Shane. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to tell that Sonny Jurgensen story to these guys sometime.
Right.
So we go down, and Daryl Bush was a great, he was an All-American linebacker at Lake Brantley High School. And when he came on his trip, we went out on Friday night. Saturday morning, we go down around through the locker room, and They've got all the jerseys, got it all shined up, not quite like they do now, but shined up pretty nice. And they've got all the kids, the recruits, their high school numbers on Gator jerseys with their name on a nameplate on the back. So it'll see like what it'll look like when they come to Florida, if they come to Florida. And so there's Daryl, who wore 44 as well. In my locker, it's 44 Bush. You know, it's fine. That's the way it goes. But we're standing there looking at it, and Coach Spurrier walks up, and it's Daryl and his mom and dad and like a sibling. And Coach Spurrier walks up and says, "Well, looks pretty good, Daryl." And Daryl's mom says to him, she says, "Daryl's worn 44 his whole life, and he plans on wearing it in college." And at this point, I hadn't done a whole heck of a lot to say, this is my number and no one's going to get it. So I wasn't sure where this was about to head as Spurrier looks at me and he goes, "Batesy, you wear 44, don't you?" And I was like, "Yes, sir." He goes, "You feel like giving it up?" And I was like, "No, sir." And he looks right in the eye and he goes, "Well, guess he won't be wearing 44 feet of Gator."
Yeah, I mean, not many coaches would say that.
No.
All right, before we let you go, you got to have a good head ball coach story, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, always. One of my faves with Spurrier was always wanted, like, if you're on his side, if you're one of, you know, "Where are you from?" used to be one of his favorites, you know, like, and if you talked to him, he found out you went to Florida. Spurrier would always do a little extra for me, I felt like. Maybe he wasn't, but I felt like. So one year I had this idea. It was Tennessee week, Shane, which was a huge game. I don't remember what year it was, but it was pretty early in the tenure. You might have been there. I don't remember. But anyway, this is the old days. I can't do podcasts and just call them up and do. But I wanted to do like a one-on-one with Spurrier, but I couldn't come to Gainesville. I'll tell you how long ago it was. My then wife was expecting one of our children, so I couldn't go to Gainesville. So I had this idea of getting a satellite truck, put it between the practice field and the locker room, so I know he's walking by. And I called Norm Carlson. I said, "Norm, I know this is a big deal, a big favor, but could you have him just stop? It'll all be ready. Just has to plug in. I'll ask him three questions, and he'll go. We're doing this thing." And he's like, Norm did it, and Spurrier said he would do it, which was great. And so Spurrier comes along, plugs it in, and, you know, we do it, and I finish. And, Spurrier, by the way, once he plugged in, you better be ready to go. So I made sure all my guys were ready, you know. There can't be any technical difficulties. So we nail it, and I finish, and I'm, like, so grateful. I'm like, "Coach, man, I really appreciate it." He said, "Dan," he said, "we ain't gonna do this sleep every week now." And he took the thing out, and off he went. In the night. But I always loved him because he always would spend an extra minute with me or talk to me or whatever, talk about Jacksonville or anything like that. So he was one of a kind, obviously, as you know, and no one better than the old ball coach. No one better.
No doubt about it. Yep. Last thing for you, Zach. I ask all the players that play for the head ball coach, and I know you got some good stories. You got a story you can tell us before we let you go?
I remember Coach Spurrier used to go into our dining hall. That was Jan Hall, yeah. I think was the name of the dining hall. We had an offensive lineman named Pat Browning. He was kind of like Dewey Oxberger in stripes. He had a little bit of a weight problem. So when we would all roll in, you could eat what you wanted. You know, there was an all-you-could-eat situation there, you know. Whatever it may be. Well, when Pat rolled in, it didn't work like that. The lady would grab a plate of, like, you know, with a radish on it, maybe a piece of lettuce, and hand it to him. Well, it was chicken finger day, and my man Pat really wants some chicken fingers, chicken tenders, and he was pretty upset that he couldn't get any. Well, I told him that I would go get him some chicken tenders, so I went up to the thing and got him a plate of chicken tenders and brought it down. Well, as soon as I put it on his plate, Coach Spurrier comes walking in, and he's walking around. He would walk around to every table and tell you that you had too many browns on your plate and not enough greens. And he would say, "You got too many browns on your plate." And
you need to have more greens. You want to be fat all your life? You want to be skinny like me? So Pat saw him coming, and Pat's throwing a bunch of chicken tenders in his pockets of his shorts. And Coach Spurrier gets over to our table, and, you know, he's telling me that I'm fat, and whoever else is around there, we got too many browns on our plate. And he looks at Pat's plate, and he's like, Patrick, all right, looks like you're finally gaining some self-control. And Pat was like, all right, Coach, yeah, man, I'm good here. I'm full. And he gets up, and he started walking out, and he just had more chicken grease in his pockets from those chicken tenders. And we were just dying. We were dying.
So, Coop, we were both fortunate to play for the HBC, and you're one of those guys that remembers a lot of stuff, not as much as Bates, but you got a funny Coach Spurrier story for us?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't want to wear this one out, but it's kind of one of them that I go to. We had a guy, I think I told this recently, but maybe hopefully it wasn't to you. But anyway, we had a guy, Bobby Sablehouse, who's a highly touted quarterback and great guy, but it just, you know, didn't work out here, and probably maybe wasn't quite as good as the experts thought. But I remember we were in practice, and he was running, I mean, this was an offensive period, but he was running, you know, I don't know, third string or so, but we were in there, and he threw a terrible ball, just to, you know, skipped a, you know, a little curl or out route or something that wasn't a real hard, shouldn't have been a real hard throw. So Spurrier stops practice and calls him over there, calls all, you know, all the offensive guys over there, and asks Bobby, do you think that throw was carelessness, laziness, or lack of talent? pretty tough question. Bobby didn't know really how to answer, so just kind of moved on. But I always thought that was
he didn't answer at all.
No, I think he may have said carelessness. He figured that was the lesser of the three evils. But you know,
I've never heard that story. I like that one. We're speaking with Dexter Manab on the Titan MR text line. Got a few more minutes with Dex. You got a good Coach Spurrier story?
Man, I tell you what, I'd never forget with Coach Spurrier. I remember the first time we had, I don't know if you remember this, the first time we had an offensive meeting, he called us in there, and it was this offensive lineman guy. I don't know if he's a walk-on or whatever. He was sitting back there videotaping Coach Spurrier. I don't know if he was in that meeting. It was an offensive meeting. He came in, he was talking, and I forgot the guy. He was back there videotaping Coach Spurrier. And Coach Spurrier looked at him like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, no, we're not doing it here. Put that camera down.
I do remember that. I can't remember who that big lineman was.
I think he was a walk-on. He was, you know, he had a different kind of personality, but I don't remember that. And the other thing I remember, we had practice one day. Me and Eric Red, we were sitting back there, Coach Spurrier's right there, he had his little playlist going through it, giving the plays, and it was running through, I think it could have been a 907 or something, drug there. And Eric Red, I mean, he just hauled off and just spit right down to the ground. This big old loogie right there on the ground. And Coach Spurrier, he was sitting there looking at his playlist. He looked at Eric, do you know the polite way to spit? Eric said, no, Coach. And I'm sitting there like to myself, I said, boy, I show who gonna ask you, because I don't know the polite way to spit either. So he said, this is the polite way to spit. Spit down, he did, he kind of dusted over with his foot. Now, that's how you spit. And Eric looked at me, I looked at Eric. I said, hey, man, I don't know. I said, we learn this stuff every day from this guy. So
yeah, he's a different dude, no doubt about it.
Oh, my God, he's a different dude. But I mean, but he's a player's coach. He's a good dude, man. And I think we always blessed that he came in. Nothing against coaches who recruited us to come there. But he came in at the right time to save Florida football. And Florida should owe him that.
No doubt.
So I always like to ask when I have former players that played for Steve Spurrier on my show, Johnny, you got to have some good head ball coach stories that you can tell our listeners.
You know what? I'm not like Bates telling the story. But there's one that always sticks out to me. And we were playing Georgia. This was the shortest team meeting ever. Coach said, all right, guys, playing Georgia Saturday. scoring 50. All right. So I said, let's break. That was it. That was the shortest team meeting ever.
Yeah, that's funny.
And we put up 50 in the game.
You know, I've had a lot of defensive guys on my show, and they always talk about, you know, how practices sometimes were cut short if the offense had a good day. But if the offense had a bad day, you could be out there all day long.
You could be out there all day long. So, I mean, first, give and take. So we would have to practice for 3.5 hours. So, you are absolutely right.
Well, Rick, before we let you go, we've had a million texts here, and a majority of the texts are, we got to hear some of Eric Rhett's favorite Spurrier stories.
Wow, man. Let me see some of the craziest stories, man. I tell you what, though. I don't know if you remember when we had started carrying beepers. I don't know if a lot of people didn't have a beeper, but I remember when I was one of the first people with a beeper at the University of Florida. Then we got these little cell phones, and people were like, what do you need a cell phone for? What do you need? It was back in like 1990. No one had one. And I had this little beeper that I used to carry, and the coaches used to always beat me when they wanted me or needed me or whatever. And I remember leaving my beeper on vibration, and Spurrier wanted to talk to me, and it fell behind his chair, and where you couldn't see it, but everybody was beeping me, and he thought somebody put something. He was going crazy. He almost got the fire department down here. All he knows is that, listen to this one, and it's like he don't know where this is. He's going crazy in his room. That little thing is vibrating. So, you know, it's just so many memorable stories. I mean, it's like, you know, this guy was, he's amazing to play for, man. It's like, I remember we were in Kentucky in 1993, man, and we're down, man. It's the last few seconds left in the game. Do you know, man, we're not even worried. I mean, it's to have a genius on the sideline calling plays or putting us in a position to win, we never worry. It was like, man, we're not worried. We'll come out of this. We're going to come out of this. We're not going to lose this game. And, man, it's like, I don't know how it happened when Danny threw that ball to Chris Dorn for that long pass down the middle for that touchdown. But it was like, man, it wasn't no panic. With 20 seconds left in the game, there was no panicking going on when it should have been like, man, we're about to lose to Kentucky. You know, and it was just amazing. So stories like that, you remember, man, because this guy was just a, you know, genius, and he allowed everybody to just get back there and compete, man. And it's no one day. Every day is a story with this guy. You know, he's a competitor all the way until this day right now. I mean, he wants to compete. So that's what makes you a great person when you compete.
We got to hear some head ball coach stories from Coach Franks.
Well, one of the funniest ones I thought was, I actually coached the linebackers one year at Florida. Coach Spurrier mixed everything up, so I'm coaching linebackers. We're playing Georgia in Gainesville, and James Bates is a linebacker. Everybody knows James. You see him a lot on Facebook in his drawings, pictures. He's been very successful with that, and his family got a great family of swimmers. But you know, I put James in the game a lot on third down because he was a really good pass coverage guy. Well, they got the ball. Georgia's got the ball somewhere like about the 12, and maybe it's, I'm sure plenty of people can correct me. So it's just around the 12. Don't hold me to that. And so I send James in the game, and over the headphones, I hear Bates, who put Bates in the game? Well, everybody knows who put Bates in the game. And then he gives me the tap me on the shoulder and send me to Bellevue if he ever makes a play. So they drop back, throw the ball. James intercepts the ball and returns it for a touchdown.
Yeah,
now, for your son, Steve Jr., is up in the box, and he is a GA on defense. So I said, Bubba, how much will you pay me to go down there and tap your father on the shoulder? The next thing I hear is, I'm still on the headset. The head coach.
That's great.
But you know, there was really nothing. We both take it good naturedly. But that was, at least that was one of the few stories that worked out in my favor. Usually there wasn't a whole lot that worked out in your favor.
No doubt. Well, Larry, we got to hear some
Steve Spurrier stories. You got to have some good ones.
Well, of course, y'all know, some of y'all don't know, but I was in Melissa Spurrier and Coach Spurrier Jr., Bubba, as we call him. I was in their wedding. And, of course, I know the triplets. I know all the kids. And, you know, set of the kids, our God kids. My wife and I, they're our God kids. And went down to Crescent Beach there and did the baptism and all that stuff. That was all awesome. And dealing with Coach Spurrier and Jerry and Miss Jerry. I called her Miss Jerry one time just out of respect. Well, you should have saw how she talked to me. Don't ever call me Miss Jerry. No, you call me Jerry. And, you know, but I love Coach Spurrier. I love Jerry and the family. They've all been awesome and open arms. And Coach Spurrier and I always had we had one of those tough relationships, I think, when I was in college, just because, I mean, I was just one of those athletes. I was one of those hot shot guys, but very respectful and always mindful of the team. You know, so the one thing about it is I can recall my idol kind of growing up was Dion. I mean, you know, he was prime time, I was showtime. And Coach Spurrier did not like that. And I remember going to Tennessee back in 92. And of course you have to dress up there going to the game, but getting off the bus, I ended up changing clothes and I put on a Deion Sanders jersey and some Deion, I think I had on some Bo Jackson, the new Bo Jackson Nikes or something. And Coach Spurrier looked at me. I had on my shades, my headphones. I think I'm the dude. Coach Spurrier looked at me. He didn't say much, but he looked at me. And I said, boy, we better win this game. Because I already knew what that look was about. And we lost. And that was the rainstorm and the game, the plane almost crashed coming back. Yep. And, you know, at least it felt like it was going down. Regardless of what it to me, we were headed down. But we got back. And, you know, yeah, that's right. But we got back. And, you know, our coach takes over meetings sometimes. And, you know, coach back then, and Coach was sarcastic. Now he can just look at you. His sarcasm would get you. And he talked about me wearing that Deion Sanders jersey. We got some guys just want to do their own thing, and we even got some guys wearing that Deion Sanders jersey. I mean, really? I mean, it was the funniest thing. It was embarrassing, but it was funny, you know. And I mean, he ridiculed me about that for a long time, and then of course. It was a year where we played Mississippi State. They had a good receiver, Eric Moles. And defensively, we had not been playing, you know, that great that year, I don't think. But, you know, when he would come over and take over the defensive meeting, which were the worst, because we knew what we were in for. Mm-hmm. The sarcasm when he would take over our meetings, I mean, oh, man, get ready for it. And I tried to intercept the pass. And all I had to do, if I'd have let the pass go, it would have been an incomplete pass. But of course, me trying to be showtime, I tried to dive for the ball and flip it into my chest, trying to make this great play, a little flip interception. And I flipped it into the arms of Eric Moles, and he ran it for a touchdown. Man, look here. We got in that meeting that next defensive meeting, and when that play came, I knew the play was coming. I was counting the plays till it came up. And he let the play run. He rewinded the play, let it run again. And then he looked at me, didn't say much, looked back, let it run again, rewind it again. And then he just let it run through and moved to the next play. He said everything he needed to say and without saying a thing to me. And that was the funniest thing ever, to watch him just break me down without saying a word, with rewinding the film and the way he looked at it and changed his posture a couple times looking at it and then letting it run through. Oh, it was comical, but it was great. And now, you know, here it is, 20 some years later, I'm Coach Spurrier with that same sarcasm. You know,
I think we all are.
Yeah, I picked up on a lot of those mannerisms throughout my day and throughout my coaching ranks. And I mean, you know, I've seen Coach Spurrier with some, I've heard some of the best things about him. I watched him in action, man. And And I tell you, throughout my experiences with him, you know, I know some guys got some crazy stories. Me, I don't say too many of the crazy stories, but, you know, I'm glad he was my coach.
Yep. So, Barry, you go from Green Bay to Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Okay. You get to play with the head ball coach, Coach Spurrier, back in those days. Y'all didn't win a dang game. What was that season called?
Well, let me tell you what. First of all, love Steve. God bless him. He was, you know, he was probably one of the calming influences, you know, that we had on that team. When I say, and obviously you've heard me say it a couple of times about being frustrated. Again, when you go 0-14, it's not an easy thing to stomach. But one of the things that a lot of people don't know, now one of your buddies, Lee McGriff, was also down there, you know, at the same time. Jimmy Dubose, we went 10 weeks of two-a-day practices. 10 weeks of two-a-day practices in pads. Okay, so by the time the season started, I mean, we were scrimmaging the week of the game. We had lost a lot of guys that could have been impactful, especially on the defensive side. But again, you know, Steve was one of those, we rallied around Steve. He had a house that he had rented there. And so there was no way that we were going out in the public after some of the games. So we went back to his place and, you know, just kind of partied till the sun came up and licked our wounds.
We got to hear some, I have all former players tell some good head ball coach stories.
Mine's a little bit different, but, you know, we talking about our battles in practice and everything. One day, Ellis and I, you know, we were doing one-on-one pass pro, and Ellis's hand slipped off my chest plate as he's trying to, you know, bull rush me. And it's, his hand slipped up underneath my face mask and kind of jacked my helmet up. And I turned around and threw my helmet on the ground. And I didn't know Coach Spurrier was standing back there. And my helmet, you know, exploded. And, you know, the ear pads and all the padding inside the helmet and bounced over. And I guess, you know, brush coach or hit coach or whatever. And he just took off walking. I didn't even realize that it happened, because my eyes were watering from my chin strap being up around my nose. And coach, everybody's telling me what happened. And of course I had some choice words. And next day I come in the locker room and there was a note for me to go up and see coach, you know, from Nancy. And I go upstairs and she says, "Oh yeah, coach is in there ready. He wants to talk to you." So I go in there and shut the door. And he says, "Donnie," he said, when you get mad like that, he said, "Don't throw the helmet in my direction." He said, "Throw it towards Jimmy Ray or somebody like that." You know, and I wasn't aiming at him or nothing, but you know, I guess the helmet went in his direction. And he said, "You know, don't say those bad words." You know, he said, "You know, just say your normal ones. Just say your normal cuss words."
Yeah,
that's it.
Remember those?
I know him well. I still hear it in my head, you know. And you know, first of the season, you know, you went through. Sorry, just got an ambulance go by, but you know, he always made sure that everybody knew those three words. You could say those anytime you wanted to, but you know, just don't drop the F-bomb.
Yeah. Good stuff. Last thing for you, Kyle. I ask all the former players that played for the HBC some good Spurrier stories. You got one for us?
You know, my favorite thing with Coach is, you know, and I just always really enjoyed how much he hated small talk and, you know, awkward social situations. And, you know, him on the football field and around the players and everything is one thing, but I always loved watching Coach Spurrier interact in, you know, media situations or, you know, booster situations where he had to kind of engage in small talk. And, you know, even to this day, you know, everywhere I go, anytime I get in an awkward moment, I'm always like, "All right, my man." Yeah, I just, you know, when the conversation's done, it's time to move on, just throw out an "All right, my man." And, you know, Jeff McClain, who was longtime head coach and athletic director at Marin Island High School after Coach Odom retired, You know, he was, you know, at UF for, you know, season or two as a graduate assistant. So, you know, he got to interact with Coach, and, you know, I was coaching offensive line with him at Merritt Island for a lot of years. And, you know, always, all right, my man, you know, always, anytime anything was awkward on the football field, even during a game, you know, always lighten the situation with that. But, and you know, as I'm talking, I thought of something else that was after football. It was when I was working in Orlando, and Coach Spurrier and Jerry were in the Airport Marriott in Orlando, and saw them walking through the lobby, and they were staying the night there before they were heading out on some trip. And just, you know, to have a couple minutes and interact with Coach Spurrier, and, you know, you know, he's talking, you know, recalling me, and, you know, yeah, you know, pretty good ball player there, Cal, good center, you know, kept Shane from getting dirty, and, you know, just kind of small little talk, you know, like that, trying to figure out what to say. And then, and on the other side, then you got Miss Spurrier, you got Jerry, who's just a heart of gold, and, you know, all full of emotion and everything. And she's just looking as Coach is talking. As soon as Coach stops talking, she just lets out a big sigh and just comes up and gives me a big old hug and just says, I love you so much, and, you know, miss you, and, you know, love those days there, and so glad you were a part of the program. And that, you know, to me, you know, I guess is a great coach story, because it just talked about how much those two together, you know, really leaned on each other, the perfect complement of personalities to make, you know, a really successful coach and wife combo.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, Marco, before we let you go, you got a good Coach Spurrier story for us?
Oh, man. Golly. Oh, man. Well, I don't know if you remember this one, but, oh, man. So we had a team meeting my senior year. Me and, you know, Johnny Church and I were teammates. My senior year, we're senior captains. And, you know, we're considered the leaders of the team. And so we're in the team meeting, and after it was over, Coach Spurrier says, "Mark, Johnny, let me talk to you guys. Mark, Johnny, you guys walk around here like you're not happy to be here. You guys walk by me, you don't want to say anything. Well, I want when you guys see me in the hall and you walk by me, you smile. Because if the other guys see you smile, they'll smile at me too." And we just thought that was hilarious. And I'm trying to hold back from laughing, but that's Coach Brad. You know, that's just him being, you know, it's not a big deal, but it was funny at the time, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's good stuff. The last thing, and we're going to let you go. The old ball coach,
yep,
the unique guy, and he coaches a unique style. Yes. I asked all the former players, you got any good stories you'd like to Gator Nation to know about old Coach Spurrier?
I think everybody's told every great story. Just one of my all-time favorite lines is that, you know, coaches say, yeah, well, it's not your fault. We're the dumbass coaches that gave you a scholarship. Favorite thing all time, man. He had a unique way of, you know, kind of poking the bear through sarcasm, like unlike any other coach I've ever been around. And it was great to see him back on the sideline recently, and hopefully he gets the itch to do it again, man. The game needs him.
I'm Steve Spurrier, and today, guys, I want to talk to you about this game. Now listen. No, don't raise your hand. It's my time to talk. We got to go up there and we got to win. Now I know last year when we played them, you guys stunk it up, and you know what? That's my fault as a coach. It's not you. No. It's not you. It's me. It's my fault as a coach. We got to do better. So what we're going to do is we're going to pass the ball around. Little fun and gun. You remember that? Remember that fun and gun? We throw the ball, we score points. I know, it's very simple. Defense, you're gonna go out there, you're gonna block all of them, the entire game. And then offense, you're gonna block them as well. And guess what, QB? You're gonna throw the passes. And receivers, you're gonna catch them. It's that easy. Running backs, y'all get in there somehow. We'll work it into the game plan. Most importantly, we're gonna go out, we're gonna win. We're gonna run some crescent routes. We're going to run a couple of short digs, and we're going to let it go. We're going to let that ball fly, boys. Now just remember, win, or else you'll see the tyrant. You know how that feels, but we'll win.
No doubt about it. Last thing for you, Ernie, I ask all the people, you only had 1 year with him, but you know he's a character. You got a good Coach Spurrier story for us?
Oh, man. Wow.
It's so funny. It's so funny when I ask the players this, everybody has the same reaction.
Oh, man. Probably my funniest story is actually not when I was playing. Kerwin and I was riding, we was coaching, and he was calling. Kerwin was talking to Spurrier, he was on the speakerphone, and he had saw us coach the All-Star game. So we were on our way back to Jacksonville, he saw us coach the All-Star game, and he said, Kerwin, you and Ernie look pretty big out there. Y'all need to get to work. You guys need to exercise for lunch. that was so classic, Spurrier. So I was like, man, I laughed for a while, man. But I just love
how he used to get on Coach Dixon, because Coach Dixon would be sleeping during the meetings, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Coach, last thing for you. I ask all the former players, and obviously coaches have great stories, but people love to hear some Steve Spurrier head ball coach stories. You got a good one for us?
Well, there's lots of them, Shane, and as you know. And I love Coach Spurrier. I feel like we're family together. So, but I think the thing I remember most is, if you remember in the 90s, we went to, LSU, number one in the country, and LSU beat us, that year. This was 97, I think, 97 or so. They had a guy by the name of, I can't even remember the defensive coordinator's name at LSU at that point in time. But anyway, he went around the country telling everybody how to stop the Gators. And the next year when we got ready to play LSU, Coach Spurrier stood up in front of the team on Monday of that week and told the team, he said, there's a guy, defensive coordinator at LSU, that thinks he knows how to stop us. And I think we can put 50 on them this week. And that next Saturday we did, Shane. So to me, that is a great story about Coach and his level and his competitive nature.
So we know those are your best sellers, but from your paintings that you've sold, which probably is your favorite one? And tell us what it sold for. if you're allowed to tell us.
Yeah. Well, I'll show you my favorite that I have right now. And sometimes I'll sell pieces in their commissions. And so I'm the whole time I'm working on them, they're sold, and some will sell right away. But sometimes I'll beg people, you know, hey, just let me hang on to it and just breathe it in and enjoy it for a month. And I'm not sure if the text will flip around, but I'm sure you've seen this one. This is my favorite one that I have right now. And I've got a couple people. One guy actually in Knoxville, it doesn't fit on his wall, but he's trying to find a way because he likes it so much. He's a Gator living up in Knoxville. And if you can't read it really good, it's really one of my favorite quotes. And I, you know, we sit and share all of our head ball coach quotes anytime we're together. And I had never heard this one until the end of The Believer, the documentary that was on the SEC Network. And it was Coach Stoops that was telling it, how we always have that bye week before Tennessee, and how Coach made all the coaches take their wives to Crescent Beach. And we're out floating in the ocean. This is Stoops telling the story. We're out floating in the ocean in Crescent Beach, and Spurrier says to me, "Stoopsy, think those Tennessee coaches are out floating in the ocean right now?" And I just love everything about that. That line. So I had to do it. And I think at some point I need to make like a just Coach Spurrier floating in that inner tube and put Crescent Beach, Florida. You know, yeah. It'd be like, Mom and Dad went to Crescent Beach, and all I got was this crummy T-shirt.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Hope everyone enjoyed that. You only get to see the HBC stories told right here on Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. Be safe out there and enjoy your weekend.